For our guests, there is a sermon outline in your bulletin. I, for the most part, follow along with it. Every once in a while, the congregation will get me on a tangent, and I will get away from it, but Spirit usually brings me back to it. All right, what's the title of today's message?
Made for a mission, beware of bad advice.
Now, there is only one thing worse than getting some bad advice, and that's getting some bad advice and following it. How many of you have gotten some bad advice at least once or twice in your life? Now, I want you to know that you were made for a mission, and nothing will get you off track from your mission quicker than following some bad advice. Now, believe it or not, some of the worst advice that we can get will originate in our own hearts and in our own minds. How many of you admit you talk to yourself now and then? You have a conversation with yourself. Now, I don't advise you to do it out loud unless you got a cell phone with you. But how many of you have discovered that your own self will lead you astray from the advice that it gives to you? You see, the person you talking to is only as smart as the person that's talking, or the other way, is only as dumb as the person that is talking. And if one person doesn't have all the facts, the other person doesn't have all the facts either. How many of you know a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing? Amen. We are going to continue with the fallout from King David's decision to go for a walk on his roof late one night, because we haven't seen the fulfillment of all the prophecies that said were going to come into his family as a result of that just one look. So it's been a few years now. And last week when we looked at, or the last time I preached, we looked at David had lost one of his infant sons. Now today I want to introduce you to another one of David's son. His name is Amnon. And Amnon is the oldest of David's sons, so by law he would have been the first in line to become the next king. And Amnon, if you read the passages of Scripture closely about him, you discover that he kind of has a reputation for being a ladies' man, and he is quite the player. He can get away with a whole lot because he is the king's son, and people want to be connected to him now so that when he becomes king later, they've already got a doorway to getting inside favors. Now, Amnon, even though he impressed many of the women, he ran into a young woman that he could not be swayed by his charm or by his position. I think the Temptations did a song, "Can't Get Next to You, Babe." That's kind of what he was going around singing, "Can't Get Next to You." And he came up with all kinds of schemes and conniving to try to get alone with this young woman. Her name was Tamar, and nothing he did was working. Now, her name was Tamar, and the Scriptures lets us know that she is absolutely beautiful. Look, just like some of you women here today, absolutely beautiful. Y'all know which ones of y'all I'm talking about, because all y'all beautiful. Amen. Amnon, however, was frustrated for another reason. She was the sister of Absalom, and the Bible tells us that Amnon was so frustrated that he just started making himself emotionally sick inside. Started walking around with a pouting lip and a frown on his face and all that kind of stuff. And the Bible tells us that Tamar was Absalom's sister for a reason. Absalom is Amnon's brother, which makes Tamar Amnon's sister. So what we have here is David's with two sets of his children by two different women. And we think everything is new. There is nothing new under the sun. There was blended families, twisted families, and messed up families long before they even came up with that term, what do you call them? Dysfunctional families. All right. Now, the Bible is a real book about real life situations, and it covers every topic that is going to face us in the church. And Amnon, what he is really considering here is incest. And incest is when you are having sex with someone in your family. We like to think that incest goes on out there, but anything that's going on out there is also going on in here, because all of us came from out there. None of us was born in this church and stayed in this church. So we bring everything with us into the church. Now, we don't like to think that incest goes on in churches, but it does. And it begins just like it began with Amnon. A person taking some bad advice from himself or herself about how easy and how great it would be to have or to do such and such. Parents, we don't like to think our kids and our families look at each other in sexual ways. But the reality is, they do. We don't like to think that our brothers or our aunts or our fathers or grandfathers would touch our kids in wrong, inappropriate ways. But sometimes they do. And when your little one says something to you about it, you need to listen to them and not say, "You better stop talking like that. How can you say something like that?" We need to remember that sin infects all of our hearts. And if we listen to our hearts, we are going to get some bad advice. Satan will come along and drop a thought in your head quicker than you can say Jesus. How many of you have just been minding your own business and some thought came, where in the world did that thing come from? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus and every angel, everywhere, anywhere. Okay, so Satan comes along and he drops these deposits in our head. And some of us act on that bad advice. Now, in a congregation of this size, there is a good chance that there is someone here today who is being molested. In a congregation this size, there is a good chance that there is someone here who is thinking about molesting someone in their family. And in a congregation this size, there is a good chance that there is someone who is actually doing something. For the person being molested, we want you to know this is not God's plan or will for your life. Come to us as pastors and let us help you. For the person who is thinking about it, don't destroy your life. Don't destroy this person's life. Don't do it. For the person who's involved, today is the day to stop. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to get some help. Now, Amnon was determined to get what he wanted at any cost. So since he couldn't come up with a plan, he went around with his mouth looking poked out, looking sad, kicking his foot, trying to get some attention from somebody who might be able to help him out. Now, whenever you got a bad plan in mind, the devil got somebody to help you out. It was no accident that he ended up running into a fellow by the name of Jonadab. Now, Jonadab was a person who looked out for himself. Say himself. Jonadab would look for an opportunity to get some dirt on you. He'd look for an opportunity to make you think he was your friend so that he can get something from you a little bit later on. Jonadab was older than Amnon. He was actually one of Amnon's cousins. And he is looking for a way, how can I get in good with the future king? And the scripture says he had a reputation for being a very shrewd man. That means he could get you what you wanted. But he wasn't going to do it according to the things of God or according to the ways of God. God is nowhere near Jonadab's life. Tell your neighbor, don't go to Jonadab for advice. Jonadab was just looking for his opportunity. And one day he saw Amnon. Here he is, the ladies' man, looking sad morning after morning. And he's thinking, this brother got the women, he got the money, he got the power, and he's still walking around, hair hung down, mouth, lips pucked out. Jonadab sees him and goes up to him and he says, what's up, my man? Brother, you got everything that you need to have, and you're looking, walking around like you got the weight of the world up on your shoulders. Jonadab said, I'm in love with some of my brother's sister, and I can't do nothing to it. Now, Jonadab knows that Amnon is a player. And Amnon wouldn't know what love was if it smacked him upside the head three or four times. He knows the gossip that's been going on in the palace. He also knows how fine and beautiful Tamar is. So he knows when Amnon's sitting there talking about, he in love. That ain't what's on his mind. He says, brother, today is your lucky day. You have come to the right man to get what you want. Here is all you got to do. Pretend like you sick. When the king comes to see you, tell the king, if only you could just see your sister Tamar, come and bake you some bread in front of you, and you could eat that bread from her hand, you know you'd get better. So, he looks at him and he says, I think you can take it from there, can't you? And he says, yeah, man, I think I know what to do from there. So, Amnon goes through this little deception. He all of a sudden gets sick with some kind of the flu. King gets word about it, gets word about his oldest son. He comes to see his son. How many of you have ever said to your parents, you know, you just don't trust me. Why don't you trust me? Any of y'all ever said that to your parents? This ain't no trick question. You either raise your head or you don't. Okay, now let me ask you this. How many of you have done something that if your parents had known you did it, you would have got yourself a whipping like nobody's business? Okay, now, if that's true, how come we walking around with, how come you don't trust me? We just proved we can't be trusted. And with stories like this in the Bible, it tells us you are a fool to just put blind trust in your children. Because I know you say, my child ain't never told me a lie. They ain't never told you a lie that you found out about you. Okay? We are all little deceptive sinners. We just grow up to be old deceptive sinners. Now, Amnon, he puts on a royal performance. How many of you done had your kid put on a royal performance? Something they didn't do. I'm just mad that you even said I did it. And just lied away. Well, this is what he did. Only, Dad. Now here is where we as parents are naive when it comes to this, our children. Think about this. This boy is sick and in great pain. How is watching his sister bake some bread in his sight going to make him feel better. And what kind of drugs is she putting in this bread so that when he eats it from her hand, he's just going to jump right up like it was some Tylenol? Now, men, just us men, rest y'all, forget y'all even here for a second. Every one of us as a man knows how a man thinks. Y'all women think y'all know how we think. Y'all ain't got a clue. Tamar is a gorgeous, beautiful, knockdown woman. Now, if we are watching her cook food, how many of us as men are thinking, I wonder how much flour she put in that bread? I wonder what number she turned the oven to when she did that. And when she brings it over to us in her hands and we look into her eyes, we say, I wonder how that bread gonna taste when I put it. We are not anywhere near that. And King David wants to pretend that his son's motives are pure. But you know what I think? Probably because he messed up with Bathsheba, he's not willing to openly confront his son. Men, God has given us the job of protecting our daughters. We are to be the first line of defense they have from other guys like the rest of us. Telling the truth. When you start talking about leaving your wife, don't forget you're talking about leaving your daughters too. And who are you leaving them praying for? Our commitment to our daughters is best protected by us being faithful and committed to their mothers. Those of us who have daughters all over the place, how in the world are we going to be the protection that they need for us to be? Now, girls, you got a role to play in this thing, too. You need to learn to dress appropriately around all males. I don't care if it's your brother, your cousin, your father, your grandfather. When you got on a little white T-shirt and you just skipping through the house, you just need to stop it. Pastor Toby always had a rule in our house. If you come out the door, you got on your house coat. Okay? So you need to do that. And you may be thinking, there ain't nobody thinking nothing. Again, you do not know how guys think. Oh, that's nasty to think like that. It sure is. And that's how the devil get in and messes up our homes. You see, Jesus came and died for us because all of us have a heart that needs to be changed. And then after we get saved, all of us need some continual heart checkups. Amen? Because any of us can fall into sin. There comes a time when brothers and sisters need to stop wrestling with each other. There comes a time when you need to stop sitting in each other's laps. And girls, and you ladies, we need all the help we can get with the summer months. I'm asking you now, please, leave them little tight, high dresses home. Please, don't make us see all the good things the Lord has blessed you with. Just button it up a notch or two. We want to be able to, when we back there praising God during the praise song, we don't want to be behind you, sir. Buy your clothes is just a size too big for when you come to church. Or have a check at home before you get to church. Have somebody look at you when you go like this and when you go like this. And just because it's warm doesn't mean y'all got to start wrestling out there on the lawn after church. I don't care what you say. You know, we guys, we like to put our arms around you and pick you up. And you just think we're having a good time being friends. That is the furthest thing from our mind. And some of y'all know it's the furthest thing from our mind. And you setting us up to do it. This ain't no one-way thing anymore. It goes both ways. Now, King David is betraying his daughter by agreeing to send her to visit Amnon without making it clear to Amnon, Tamar is not to be used like you've been using these other women. If he had said, boy, if you even think about doing something to my daughter, your behind is going to be mine, this story wouldn't be in the Bible. I can remember one testimony John Webb gave. John Webb said when he was dating Anita, and his father said, and if you do anything to my daughter, I'll kill you. And John said, you know how people say things and they have a smile like they don't mean it? He said he didn't have that smile on his face. He meant what he said. And Anita is strong and healthy today because she got a dad that believed in protecting her. Men, as hard as it might be to have this kind of talk with our sons and our nephews and our brothers, we need to have the talk with them before something happens. Now, Tamar gets the word from the king to go and bake some food for her brother while he's sick. She goes to Amnon's place, and Amnon and his boys, his servants, they watching her as she prepares and cooks this food. They're in the kitchen, and Amnon is lying down while all this is going on. And I can't help but wonder, what's going on in Tamar's mind while these guys are watching her cook? Does she feel the look of the guys as they're admiring the beauty of her body? Is she flirting with them during this process, laughing and joking, as only you women know how to do when you got the attention of several guys and you know how to be a teaser during the process? Or is it possible that Tamar felt somewhat used? Knowing these guys are undressing her with their eyes, I wonder if she was getting upset on the inside with her father for sending her there in the first place. Could she feel their lustful stares making her want to get out of there as soon as this cooking thing was over? This whole thing made absolutely no sense to her. Who on earth gave her father this bad advice for her to come to this place? And just when it looked like things couldn't get any more bizarre, it does. She takes the bread to Amnon to eat it out of her hand. All of a sudden I'll just leave it at that. Refuses to eat. He flips from being, everybody get out of here. Everybody get out of here. I got to go to the bedroom. Get out. And so everybody is out of the bedroom. And then, Tamar, could you bring it here in the bedroom so I can eat it out of your hand? That's some bad advice. Real bad advice. Here he is. He couldn't eat in the kitchen because he was too sick. But somehow crossing the threshold to the bedroom brought his appetite back. Now, women, you got to help and look out for yourself. Don't keep trying to think the best of a person when they're trying to isolate you where it's just you and them. If you're dating somebody that they don't want you to have nothing to do with your family, nothing to do with your friends, you need to run from that thing like nobody's business. Tamar, still thinking the best, goes into the bedroom with the food in her hand, and all of a sudden this joker ain't sick no more. He grabs her by the hand and says, "Come to bed and have sex with me, my sister." She pleads with him. She reminds him that he is her brother. She reminds him that this is wrong. She reminds him that she could mess up her life. She reminds him that he could be jeopardizing his future in the kingdom. She even says, "Why don't you even talk to the king? Maybe we can get married or something." There in verse 12, chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, she says, "Don't, my brother, don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you." Now, she is finally trying to give this idiot some advice to save his life. She is saying, think about what this is going to cost you. Just you, not alone me, just you. And he's holding on her so tight that she's starting to hurt, and she knows he's serious about all, what he's planning on to do. Now, Amnon had in mind in his plans, all he was going to have to do was just get her alone, speak his little words, and she was going to melt in his arms. Praise God. A lot of times what we be thinking is not what's going to happen. You see, I remember with us, my generation of men, we grew up thinking that even if you ladies said no, that once we looked at you real hard and put our lips on your lips, you was just gonna melt. Why? Because it always happened like that in the movies. Every time John Wayne was with a woman and she, he'd look at her, and she just, same thing with James Bond and all them westerns. So we as men walked around thinking that's what you women really were like once we got y'all alone. Just like y'all don't have a clue what we be thinking. We don't have a clue what y'all be thinking. Amnon thought it was going to be, but not this time. He had run into a woman of faith. He had run into a woman of high moral values. And she fought back. Now, ladies, I know you may be thinking that, hey, if some dude tried to do something, I'm going to just slap him upside the head. Let me tell you this. There is a thing called physics. And physics says something that is stronger than something else, that stronger object can get it to move. And you may think you are stronger than men. Now, those of you who done took karate or you got a 45 in your pocket, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the one that you the same size he is. Men have more muscle mass on average than women do. So you just need to accept that. And I don't care what you saw in the movies, how she was flipping and throwing people all over the place. That was the movies. The scripture says here, because he was stronger than she was, he raped her. You see, ladies, just because you are saved doesn't mean you won't be raped if you let yourself get into some bad situations. Think before you get alone with somebody. They may have a whole nother agenda in mind. And men, you need to do the same thing. A couple of months ago, this guy here in Northeast Ohio met him a girl on the internet. showed up at her house. When she got there, he got there, she pulled out a gun, told him to take off his shoes, drove him to his ATM machine, had him withdraw his money out of the ATM machine, went back to her apartment, shot him 5 times. 5 times. He managed to get out of the apartment, going from apartment to apartment, knocking on people's doors. The only way he was able to survive, somebody called the police saying there's a crazy man out here running around knocking on doors, and people came. How many of you think that's what he had in mind when he hooked up with Hot Mary on the internet? Amnon thought he, not this Hot Mary. Y'all leave Mary alone. Mary don't know nothing about that guy. All right. Guess I apologize for their behavior. Y'all let me finish my message. Verse 15 says, he does another flip. Now, ladies, y'all really need to hear this one. Then Amnon hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Amnon said to her, get up and get out. Now, the world tells us that sex is the gateway to love. It don't happen like that. The moment this sex thing is over, Amnon now realizes how much it's going to cost him, and all of a sudden, it ain't even worth what he thought it was going to be worth, and now he's not only upset, he wants to throw the blame on her. You know, if you hadn't come in here, this wouldn't have happened. Now, for those of you who are thinking, if I just give him what he wants, give her what she wants, everything is going to be fine. Sometimes the only reason a person goes after you is because you're hard to get. And once they done got you, they're ready for the next thing to conquer. Sex is not something you can use to keep a person who don't want to be with you in the first place. This bad advice he had gotten is going to help him much now. You know, last week we had at 3 o'clock True Love Wait ceremony of our young people who had made a commitment. I'm not going to mess up my life with sex. I'm going to stay pure until I get married. Many of our teens, though, didn't make that commitment. And that's sad. But many of our adults haven't made that commitment either. And that also is sad. Because what both groups don't realize is there is an Amnon out there waiting on you. They're waiting to use you. He might be 6'3", just as good looking as he want to be. She might have a body that, whoa! But you'll still hear, get up and get out. You know, this is at the root of the baby mama drama that everybody likes to talk about on the TV shows. Somebody has told somebody that they've used, get up and get out. You don't have that kind of drama with True Love Waits. And you also need to realize this. Wanting something can be much more exciting than actually having it. I found in the kingdom of God, everything that we thank God for as a blessing, at some point, is going to be a headache in our lives. Now, if that's true about what God gives to us, heaven knows what the devil gives to us is really going to be a mess. I want you to realize this about Tamar. Tamar is brave enough
and strong enough to cause some drama of her own. Tamar realized she hadn't done anything wrong in this situation. She says, no, I'm not going anywhere. Because what you're trying to do in sending me away is worse than what you have already done to me. In other words, you lied and tricked to get me here. You then raped me. And now you think I'm going to keep my mouth shut so you can just go on with your life even though you have destroyed mine? Not this sister. And when Amnon sees she is dead serious, he calls in one of his personal servants. Get this woman out of here and lock the door behind her. Hey, you see what kind of flippant he is, Doug? He's given the impression she came in and attacked him while he was sick on the bed. And he's afraid she might do it again. So he wants the door locked behind her so she can't come back in there. Man, I would have liked to have met him in an alley, in a Christian sort of a way. Walt and I together would have liked to have met him. Amen, brother. Amnon thinks he can shame her into keeping quiet. But I thank God that Tamar was not only beautiful, she was strong on the inside. She wasn't going to let Amnon do this to someone else. She was not going to suffer alone in silence. You see, the virgin daughters of the king, they wore a special ornamented robe so that when someone saw it, they knew immediately, this is one of the virgin daughters of the king. But when that guy pushed her out of the room, she went over there to that thing where they had cooked the food, got some ashes, put them on her head, ripped this thing off to let everybody know, I'm coming out of his house, and he is the one that has done this to me. When Tamar ran into her brother Absalom, he goes to comfort his sister, and he knew immediately when he saw her that it was Amnon that had done it, because nobody else in the kingdom would have dared consider raping the daughter of a king. Their head would have been gone like nobody's business. And Absalom told his sister, he says, keep your head up. You're the daughter of a king. Come on and live with me. If you've been violated like Tamar was, I want you to know, you don't have anything to be ashamed of. You don't have to feel disgraced. You don't have to feel dirty. You don't have to feel any of that. You're still a child of the king. When King David found out what was happened, the scripture says he was furious. And he did absolutely nothing about it. You know why he didn't do anything about it? He didn't want to face Amnon saying, well, Dad, I did what I did because I learned it from watching what you did to Bathsheba. Now, parents, I want you to know, we've all made some mistakes in our past. But because we made mistakes, or the same mistake, does not disqualify us from being able to tell you what I did was wrong. What you did was wrong. And just like I paid a price, you're going to pay a price. There's no hypocrisy involved in all of that. Absalom didn't speak to his brother, good or bad, for 2 years. Scripture says, because he hated him for what he had done to his sister. I mean, you know, you can think of a lot of things in 2 years of hatred in your heart. Amnon, 2 years have gone by. He thinks everything is cool. He got away with it. He's still living in his palace. But this thing ain't over yet. But in order to find out what happened to Amnon, You got to wait till the next time I preach. I want you to see this whole thing began with listening to some bad advice. Say bad advice. All of us are listening to somebody today. What is it that we are listening to? Who is it that has our ear? Is it a godly person who's looking out for your own best interest? Or are you talking to somebody shrewd like Jonadab? Because you think they can get you what you want. Bad news is, they can get you what you want. What advice are you listening to today? Is it coming from some smooth talker like Amnon who's telling you how good you look and how fine you are and how much he loves you? Or is it coming from a person who's telling you how to get you an education, how to be successful in life, how to be a true man or woman of God? What advice are you listening to today? Is it coming from somebody who stood by your side already through thick and thin? Or somebody you just hooked up with not too long ago, but they done captivated your heart? Somebody who says, here is the way for you to walk according to the will of God. Or somebody who can flip on you in a minute and say, get up and get out of here. Remember, it was Jesus who said, the devil has some advice for you, but his purpose is to kill you. His purpose is to destroy you. His purpose is to leave you by the wayside. Jesus said he had some advice. His purpose is to give us life. His purpose is to give us joy. His purpose is to give us life abundantly. And here's what you need to know about the advice of Jesus. It'll change your heart on the inside. It'll change your behavior on the outside. It'll bring you to the point of repentance when you need it in your life. It'll turn you into the kind of person you really deep down inside want to be. And there's a whole lot of people in this world today who are listening to some bad advice because they don't even know any other kind of advice exists.